A beautiful 30 sunny degrees outside the K1037 studios, 1211 on this Monday afternoon. Paul Grafe with you on Data Watara, and it is really time to meet the candidates. It's not the official meet the candidates night, but it is a chance for each candidate, and everybody has been afforded or offered at least the same amount of time to come on the radio and present their stump to the community and what they believe in. And so today we're going to be joined by Jeremiah Johnson, who is running for council chief, Gina Deer, who's an incumbent but who is now running for grand chief, and Craig DeLille, who for the first time is running for chief and joins us in studio. Good afternoon, Craig.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Nyawa for being here. And so as I said, everybody's going to get about the same amount of time. So let's begin with you. How old are you? Who are you? Tell the community.
I'm 47 years old. My dad is the late Alvin Tuffy DeLille, and my mom is Carol Thomas. I'm divorced. I have four beautiful daughters and two grandchildren. I'm currently employed at KMHC, where I do maintenance, security, and also transportation for the last year and a half, maybe 2 years. Before that, I was in construction and ironwork, and I worked for NBC. I've worked all over East Coast U.S., you know, from Vermont right up to New York and New Jersey and everywhere else in between, mm-hmm. pretty much. So that's about it for my work experience.
Okay, so for potentially this next job, running for council chief, why?
Well, firstly, I live in Lot 106. With the asbestos situation.
Haven't heard of it.
Okay, no. So this is what was my initial reason why. You know, I wasn't getting answers. I was actually one of the dump truck drivers who was unknowingly dumping these particles all around my neighborhood. Not only there, other locations. By the town garage.
Let's leave the locations for now until, you know, that comes out and is proven. Asbestos-containing materials were spread.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, my reason for running, I want answers, you know, and accountability. Someone made a conscious decision to dump that stuff there, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't think that's right.
Do you think the accountability lies with the current Mohawk Council, or does it lie in other departments? And, you know, since it's gone back at least to, I believe, what, 2012 and even before?
Well, I believe it's been going on longer than that, but that's this. We'll get into that at another time. But, is it someone at the town garage, or is it someone in MCK? I don't know, but I want to know, right? Like, it's people in my neighborhood approached me and said, yo,
this investigation that has just gotten underway by hiring an outside firm, along with an independent overseer from the community who was appointed to that job, is that not enough for you at this point?
Well, I mean, with all their privacy and all their confidentiality, are they going to share it with us, with the community at large? Like, there's already other things going on that so much secrecy we don't know. So my intention is to run and possibly get a seat, and, you know, I want to know.
Okay, so you want to know.
I want to know, but do you so not, does everybody in our neighborhood.
Do you not think that if and when you get on to council, you're going to have to sign a non-disclosure agreement?
Yeah.
Which, you know, a lot of things
I
will be.
I won't have to. It's my choice. But.
Well, then you won't be privy to stuff in camera, right?
When that time presents itself, Paul, I'll make that decision.
And then how do you propose to work with the rest of the council in order to get stuff accomplished for Gonfalonga if that is the case? And you're, you know,
You know what? I want to read that. If that time comes and I get to see when I read that confidentiality clause, we'll see which way I go.
I'm guessing you understand the reason for it.
Well, some. But, I mean, they're elected by us. They're supposed to answer to us.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. Through that clause, they can't. They pick and choose what they tell us. That's my view on this.
Okay.
You know. So
do you expect that it's going to be eyes wide open when you get in there? If and when you get in there, I should say.
If, yeah, I'm hoping so. I can't sit up here and make any promises because I don't know if I could keep. All I can say is I'm going to do the best that I could possibly do and try to get to the bottom of this, you know. Because people in my neighborhood want answers.
Sure.
And some of them who had their yard cleaned had to sign a paper waiving them of all future responsibilities. So right there is telling me, in one hand, they're telling us it's safe when it's buried, but we'll only clean your yard if you sign this paper. Isn't that kind of like, you know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense to me.
I imagine you've brought this up.
I've had counselor. Okay.
Without naming names.
Yeah, I'm not going to name any names. He came directly to my house and told me, because I was posted on Facebook. I felt bad because I was dumping this stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when I wrote a bunch of Facebook posts about it, and he came right to my house. And he said to me that they were getting a lot of calls about my post and if I could stop. And of course, my answer was no, I'm not going to stop. It's my right, you know, freedom of speech. And some promises were made about my yard and cleaning it up if I stopped. But I refused. And to make a long story short, there was another meeting with two counselors and myself right at my house, a bunch of phone calls. Going back and forth, I reached out to Environment Canada. I sent emails to everybody. I was hit at stone walls everywhere I went. And by the end of it, I was told by this band counselor that if I wanted my yard cleaned, because I said, I think I should, get some legal advice. He said, all right, well, then we can't talk no more. And he said, if you do want your yard cleaned, go dig up the pieces and send me pictures. And at the same time, there was a non-native company in hazmat suits and respirators cleaning another yard. And he's telling me to dig it up myself and send them pictures.
Right. We're kind of bogging down here because, yeah. You know, everything.
Listen. Okay, so we'll leave that asbestos, okay? And my next thing is cigarette trade. They want to legitimize the cigarette trade, right?
What do you mean by legitimize it?
Well, they want to make it legal, right?
Right.
So
government controlled, in other words, local government controlled.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So now.
Much like alcohol and now marijuana. Marijuana is.
Okay. Yeah. So, in my opinion, we should start by giving every factory worker and store worker, how about giving them a pension plan? Because I've done research, and if I could find this, it's called RBA, and it's in Wendake. And they have a native benefits plan. They've been in operation since 1979. And I'm going to read this. This is from their page. Native benefit plan is a benefit plan adapted to the needs of the band councils and other Aboriginal organizations. So they say, and there's already people who have been doing this on their own for their employees, right? Set it up. And whatever the contribution may be, like you work at a McDonald's out of town, you know, you're getting benefits, whatever they may be. You work anywhere out of town. I have non-native people who, friends who.
You work the iron. You work the steel, right? So you were in a union.
We got huge benefits in New York City, you know, when I was there. And it's doubled or tripled now. So I'm just saying, imagine how much money MCK would have saved during this pandemic if they had a pension plan and an unemployment somehow set up for. If they want to legitimize it, we need to help the people who are doing the work.
Well, I don't think a pension plan would have had any effect whatsoever on the pandemic.
But I'm saying that's a step to legitimize it, right? Like if you go to government and say, hey, we're trying to legitimize, we have a pension plan set up, we're working on getting them unemployment somehow, you know.
Well,
those are steps in the right direction, in my opinion.
You're going to need somebody to operate that money
investments. Saying, let's start working towards that. Let's find out what has to be done. Because, I mean, the fact of the matter is that most of the people in town work in a lot of people work in cigarette factories. This is supplying a lot of the money in town.
Yeah, and it's just the hours you worked and you get cash for it.
Yeah, I know. I have personal friends and family that have been working in factories for 20 years.
Same.
And guess what? When they retire, they have absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. What do they do? You've never worked outside in Quebec. What's the minimum? I don't know. Maybe you know this. What's the minimum pension for Quebec if you don't?
I pay Quebec pension plan through the radio
saying,
station.
It's
not very much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So how are they supposed to live after working 20, 30 years?
It's like $1,000 a month, but depending on the amount of years that you've worked.
Yeah.
Well, Craig DeLille is with us. He has put his name in for the first time to run for the Mohawk Council of Gotawangi in the upcoming election on July 3rd. Joining us a little later in the show, candidate for Grand Chief Gina Deere and Jeremiah Johnson will also be allotted time as well, as he is running for council chief. So Craig, one of the things I want to come back to is, you know, you had said earlier that you would hesitate before signing a non-disclosure agreement, which is kind of what you have to do in order to sit around the table. If you don't sign it and you start saying, you know, revealing what goes on in some of these meetings or some of the stuff that has to remain secret, and in any organization there's always got to be some secrets, otherwise, you know, you can't do any planning. Then there's the issue of censure. It's not unprecedented in Gotawangi. It has happened to council chiefs before. Yep. Then what? What happens to you? How do you become an effective elected official at that point?
You know what? If I had to sign it to be privy to all that information, that's what would happen, I guess. But if that's a route that I have to take to try to get my answers that I'm looking for, then I would sign, you know? I know about the votes of non-confidence before. People have been let go. And so, I guess I would sign that paper. And I would have to do the work on the inside without releasing any information.
Right.
It's going to be, I know the job is tough. It's like,
I mean, do you think that all who are there now, there are what, 10 who are there, got into it mostly for the right reasons, because they wanted help their community?
I'm sure everybody had started off with good intentions.
So how do you avoid falling into that trap?
You know, that's on everybody. That's like, you know, what makes a person is what they do when no one's looking.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's how I live. And I didn't always have this belief. I made some huge life changes in the last 3 years, you know? So my mindset is a totally 180 from, you know, three years ago.
Sure, you're 47 and
you know, I choose love instead of hate in every day. You know, every day I open my eyes, I tell myself out loud, today's going to be a good day. Everything is a choice in life, you know, and I feel like a need to try and help my people, you know, and I not only that, when I get up every day, I want to do something good for somebody, you know, and I wasn't always like this. And I'm a very spiritual person now, and I didn't believe in anything, and it took something very drastic in my life to happen, to have a spiritual awakening, you know, to lead the life that I'm leading now. And I have an overwhelming desire and need to try to help my people and to give the power back to the people. Let them vote on... let them vote on things that... Why should everything be at the council table in secret? Let's like, bring things to the people that... We don't even know what they're voting on sometimes. How do we know what they're doing with their confidentiality? I would like to, maybe that could be modified somehow, or, you know, like we could look into how to modify it to still keep some things that need to be kept, you know, confidential. But at the same time, let's like give the people a voice again, you know, like I find that we don't have the voice we should. So
you're talking about changing the way government works here.
Possibly, if that's where it's going to lead to, then so be it.
Craig, we've got a minute left. Any last thing you want to say?
Oh my God.
I know.
Okay, Bill 96. It's a revision of 101, in my opinion. Mm. It's colonization all over again, assimilation. They're forcing their language, they're forcing their culture. And, you know, at the same time, we're trying to revitalize our language and our culture. They don't recognize that. But at the same time, they want that for their own language and culture. So in my opinion, that's a second round of colonization. We can't let it happen. I want to touch on the 215 real quick and the whole church thing. We need to keep open mind and open heart when approaching that whole topic, because we have some. I work at the hospital and I've sat with the elders who still hold their rosaries. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with the church. I don't like seeing it here, but there's some elders that, you know, I want it gone. Like, I do. I'll be honest. I want it gone.
It's not about the faith. It's about the practice of the faith that was the problem. And, yeah. And well, what, you know, what individuals
did. Which leads to colonization, too. Yes. These people are like, yeah, that because of colonization. I have so much more to say.
I'm sure you do. Candidates Night is the time. How can people get in touch with you if they want to talk to you?
Hit me up on Messenger. I'll give you my phone number, 514-465-9203. Hit me up. I'm open to any kind of dialogue with anybody in the community. Reach out to me, please. Everybody have a good day. I thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll go to you, Craig DeLille, for coming in today, and good luck in the upcoming election on July 3rd. Candidates Night, of course, coming up before that as well. Coming up next on Dede Ouattara, Gina Deer.